Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here, our continuous coverage of the aftermath of Francine and some sports talk. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talk and text line, our Saints sideline reporter, also digital content coordinator, supervisor, Jeff Nowak. Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Glad I can cut into the Francine with the impertinent sports information.
So,
that's what we're here to do, right?
You made out okay in the storm?
Yeah. I mean, we lost power for, 12 hours. I think it went out around 11 last night. Came back just before I left to the facility today, which was nice because that meant I knew that I was coming home to power. We've been through these things before, right? It's loud, it's windy, it's a lot of water, but we're pretty good at it at this point.
Oh, yeah. Jeff, seeing the injury report, I think the one thing everybody is always alarmed about, when you got the bad lumbago, and like Taliase Fuaka got right now, now it could be, your back's starting to act up on you. Sometimes change in temperature and maybe you move a little bit wrong. Way it started acts up, and so he did not practice today. Is there a major concern about Fuaga with the back? Because we've seen this in the training camp period, preseason, and now him show up on the injury list today with his back.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think anytime you start the week of practice and you're limited, and then you end up being a DNP the next day or Friday, that's going to be a concern because it's a sign that you're not improving. You'd like it to go the other way. You'd like a guy to maybe be out Wednesday and then come back in a limited capacity on Thursday. That's what happened for Tyrann Mathieu, Lucas Patrick today. So that's a concern. And it's not the first time this offseason we've seen Taliese deal with, this year that we've seen Taliese deal with back stuff. He missed the second preseason game with a back issue. Now, I don't know if it's the exact same thing, but anytime you have kind of recurring back problems, that's just it's the type of thing that it lingers, it's annoying. We'll see. I'm hopeful that he can get out there, but it's when you're talking about a guy going into his second career game, it becomes a little bit more of a hurdle. Whereas, like, hey, if you have Eric McCoy and he's not able to practice on Wednesday or Thursday, you trust that he can go out there and execute without much difficulty, even without that missed practice time. I don't know if that's the same thing for a rookie. I don't know if that's the same thing for a guy going into his second career game. So missed practice time, I think, for him might be a little bit more significant. So it's definitely going to be something we have to watch. And right now, I'm not sure who that left tackle would even be. Probably Landon Young.
I would think.
He's the guy who seems like he's right there. Ole Udo seems like your backup right tackle. But then that kind of throws into flux, okay, where's the rest of your offensive line? Nick Saldivari did practice in full today. We'll see if he's ready, if they feel like he's ready. He missed a lot of time, too. Last week, when Lucas Patrick went out at halftime with a toe injury, it was Landon who filled in, and the reasoning was Nick Saldivari is just not quite ready. He was kind of the emergency eighth offensive lineman on game day, and they went with Landon. Well, if Landon's just starting left tackle, and Lucas, we'll have to wait and see. He was limited today. Who ends up being at left guard? But, yeah, this is not the week that, you would have hoped to have to see some of these issues with an offensive line group that you went into week one with serious questions about. I think they played really well under those circumstances, but now you're really stepping up that challenge going against Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence's Dallas Cowboys scheme, and you now have real questions on the left side of that line. So that's definitely going to be something that if this week goes poorly for the Saints, it's probably going to start there.
Yeah, and watching that game again, man, DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons, they spent more time in the backfield than what Deshaun Watson did. I mean, every play, he could have literally handed it off to him. It's unreal. But, again, man, they took it to the Browns, and they beat them in the trenches. Marshawn Lattimore, no surprise, didn't practice today. Marshawn's had that hamstring. He was dealing with the hip flexor, but he's had hamstring issues in the past. And I go back to his college days at Ohio State. I think it was one reason why he maybe lasted a little bit longer. There were some teams that were really concerned about that when he came out of Ohio State. It wasn't a major issue early on in his career, but anytime a guy has that type injury and it sort of lingers around, I think it always sort of draws up the red flag for me.
Yeah, and hamstrings are kind of notoriously finicky. They linger. It's just a tough injury to deal with. And, you know, you have to wonder with Marshawn, obviously he was dealing with that hip flexor issue. You know, when you see, and I know this was an issue with Kendre Miller too, like Kendre spent all offseason trying to, you know, rehab that ankle, and he's had a knee injury, and then suddenly you're overcompensating for one thing and you tweak something else. And wouldn't surprise me one bit if that's the case with Marshawn. He's kind of overcompensating for that hip, and then the hamstring goes. And now it's frustrating, but it kind of underscores, you know, okay, why did the Saints invest a high second round pick on a corner that they didn't necessarily have a clear path to starting this year? And, you know, this is the situation where you're like, okay, you can kind of read between the lines and say, hey, health has been an issue for Marshawn.
Yep.
Each of the last 2 years, you just cannot necessarily count on him to be healthy throughout the entire season. And we'll see. You know, he's still got time. He yep. can get back. But, you know, there's definitely when you miss, you know, I think the number is like he missed 17 games total over his first like 5 years in the league. He's missed 17 games total in his last 2 years in the league. And, you know, it's frustrating. And so we'll have to see. This was a cornerback, a wide receiver matchup that I was really looking forward to seeing in Marshawn and CeeDee Lamb, because that's why you have Marshawn. He's that guy for you that you can say, hey, we don't need to send extra help towards CeeDee because we know that Marshawn can lock him up. And I don't know if you feel the same way with Paulson Adebo. That might affect how you scheme against this Cowboys defense. But, you know, I do feel like this team really does like Kool-Aid McKinstry. It's just a question of, are you going to overload him with too much too soon in a very difficult matchup if you have to throw him out there on the outside? And I know that they don't want to have to shift Alante Taylor back outside, inside in these matchups. They want him to be able to focus on the slot. So we'll see. But, yeah, it's definitely frustrating to, you know, get through that one game, feel like everything went well in that game, and now in a matchup that feels like, hey, this is a – you know, the Saints are 6.5-point underdogs in this game, and you're going into it possibly without a key player on offense, a key player on defense. So it's definitely not how you'd want to be approaching this game.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff, last question. In watching the Cowboys, they had difficulties in having a consistent running game. And you understand Ezekiel Elliott at this point in his career. But their offensive line is still really good. And they've drafted well. I mean, really well up front. It's going to be about pressure breaking the pipe in this game. You're going to have to get after Dak Prescott because the running game for me with the Cowboys, I don't think that's going to be a major element for them. Now, they use the short pass a little bit like an extended handoff, but it's about getting pressure on Dak Prescott and having him throw up a few lollipops.
Yeah, you know, the Saints they've played Dak a few times at this point, and they've typically played him pretty well. I go back to that 2019 game with Teddy Bridgewater. I think they won 12-10. You know, even a couple of years ago, they started with Taysom Hill. It was 27-17. It was a game the whole way. You know, and one thing that Dak, you know, as good as Dak is, he does have a tendency to put the ball in harm's way. He'll throw some really just mind-boggling interceptions at times. And so I think that is it. You know, I don't think Ezekiel Elliott's going to strike fear into anyone's heart. But, you know, if you can't, you know, get pressure right in the backfield and get him behind the line of scrimmage, and they're constantly in positive game scripts, then that's going to be tough for you. So, no, I do think that for the Saints in this game, you're going to, you know, the way you win this game is by stopping the run, putting the Cowboys in obvious passing situations and then allowing your defense to unleash that pass rush that has shown really well so far. Because if you can get in pass rush situations, I think the Saints have a good chance. If you're just getting the ball run down your throat and you're making life really easy on Dak and he's able to extend and find CeeDee down the field, especially if you don't have Marshawn out there, it's going to be a long day. So, no, I think that's the key here is you can't allow Zeke to run. I don't think Zeke is the Zeke that we remember
nope.
from the last time we saw the Cowboys. So that should be an area where the Saints feel like they have an advantage is their run defense against the Cowboys rushing offense. I don't think the Cowboys, you know, I watched that Browns Cowboys game as well. I don't know if the Broncos Cowboys offense looked particularly good in that game. I think that the Browns were just anemic. They could not get anything going. And it kind of looked a lot like the Saints versus the Panthers. Like if one team just can't do anything, eventually it's going to go your way. And I know they had a return touchdown in that game. I think if the Saints allow a return or a punt return touchdown, Darren Rizzi's going to blow a gasket because those are the type of plays that you cannot surrender in a game that you're going into as an underdog. Like you need everything to go right to win a game like this. And we'll see. You know, the other thing with the Cowboys, they don't lose at home. They didn't lose a single regular season home game last year. Now they did in the playoffs. So maybe that does change a little bit, but they actually have the longest active home winning streak. I think they've won like 16 consecutive games at home. So that's just another scenario where you're going to have to go into their house and beat them there. And it's going to be a tough ask, but I think if this team can pull it off, we'll be having a very different conversation nationally about what the Saints team can do after people can stop trying to convince themselves that it was all just the Panthers and this team isn't actually a lot better than people have been giving them credit for.
The other thing, too, is they are fantastic on special teams. Man, Bones is one of the best special team yep. coaches in the business, just like Darren Rizzi. I think it may come down to that. Who can make the big play on special teams or who gives up the big play on special teams? Jeff, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate it, buddy.
For sure, Mike. Talk soon.
All righty. Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, also our WWL digital content producer. We'll take a break and come back with Jacob Pouche, who is the public information officer for Louisiana State Police, Troop B, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.